So much, and I love the next song, and I love to know that when we are crying out and we are owning, "Take courage, my heart," that is the God we are giving our heart to. Thank you for your presence, Father. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for your greatness and for this gift that we get to live out with you. How real you really are. And we turn on our awareness of you today, Father. Our hearts are wide open. Come in, pour in. Father, we receive you.
Thank you. Your love, This next song is a song, we haven't done this in forever, and there's like it's a perfect song for kind of what Eagles Way has done for me. This year, I found out Elizabeth was pregnant, and we're super excited, and it's been just, that's been a top of the world experience. And then like literally a month later, I find out my job goes away. And if y'all don't know me, I love that job. It was everything to me. I went to bed thinking about it. I woke up thinking about it. I went to work excited. I loved it. And one day I walked to work excited, and the next day I didn't walk to work. And that is a perfect time to break down. That's a perfect time to have nothing and be broken. But I go to Eagles Way. and you do something different when you go to Eagles Way. And thank God I've been here for a decade or whatever, because I felt that big emotion. I got scared, and not 20 minutes later, I'm reminded that I'm good. I'm not a bad person. I'm not lazy. I'm not bad at anything. I'm a good person. And that's instilled in me every time I come here, every time I hang out with somebody here. You all know it. That's what the world is missing. That's what the message is. The message isn't this strict set of rules. It's not a fear of hell. It's not the promise of heaven. It's that you were born good. You grew up being good. You're still good. And you get to give good to people. That's what Eagles Way says. That's what Eagles Way taught me. So many people don't have that. So many people go through their whole lives thinking, I'm bad, and if I pray hard enough or if I think good enough, that maybe one day I'll be a good person. And that's always going to end up in emotional failure every time if you're trying to be something. It's when you are something. And Eagles Way taught that to me. I am good. And this song says it over and over again. I'm looking at the words. And it says, I am. That's the most powerful thing in the world. When it says in the Bible that God's name is I am. And that never made any sense. But it's because it's a trick. I am. And when I say I am good, I create that. I'm good. So I'm a good person because I said it. When I say I am successful, I don't have a job at the moment. But if I say I'm successful, I'm successful. Gotcha. So anyway, this song is perfect for that. So listen to it and sing along with it.
Here's my heart. is my life, Lord. He is my life, Lord. He is my life, Lord. Speak what is true. Speak what is true.
Take this time to think about how good you are.
So I want to share this morning, I'm going to stay on this kingdom principle thing for a while. Dusty got on to me last week. She said, you was going to go over those five principles again, said you didn't. You just got one. And she was real adamant about it. I said, well, I may not finish this morning. How about that? I say I'm going to give you five principles to unlock your heart, to unlock the things that's in your heart, the kingdom that's in your heart, but we may get to it, we may not get to it. The more I meditate, the more principles just keep coming to me in the Word. And so during this message, something, when it comes out, will just come out. Is that all right? And when it comes out, we'll know what it is. And then we know what it is, it'll take you where you need to go. That's good right there. If we'll just wait on God, that's what that song said, didn't it? Just wait on the Lord. If you wait on Him, some things that's good will come out. I'm glad there's winds that are good. Do you understand? You know, there are some winds that don't sound too good. When you fall into various trials and testings, that's I don't like that wind. But I like when you find out some good stuff, right? Difference in a commandment and a principle. I got to keep pounding this. A commandment keeps you from suffering some consequences you don't want to suffer. Commandments are thou shalt not do certain things. Principles are thou shalt do certain things. Principles carry you to good stuff. Principles don't keep you from bad stuff. They carry you into good stuff. You with me? Not breaking commandments just kind of keeps things at status quo. Not keeping commandments just keep you from suffering from some things you don't want to suffer from. But principles, when you keep principles, are proactive. And when you do God's principles, they bring you into really good stuff. But principles call for change in our life. Oftentimes it calls for change. And I read this somewhere over the last few weeks. It says, pain of the same has to become greater than the pain of change. Pain of the same has to become greater than the pain. I mean, it's painful sometimes to change, but it's worth it. But the pain of same is not good either. So five principles that will unlock the kingdom that's within. Do you know you were born for the kingdom of God? You were born for the kingdom. That's what you were born for. You know, I say all the time, I was born to preach the kingdom of God. Well, I was, but I was born to live in the kingdom. I was born to express the kingdom. You were born for the kingdom of God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says this in verse 9. What do people really get for all their hard work? Yet God has made everything beautiful in its own time. Say, God has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I concluded there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor. For listen, for these are gifts from God. Do you know God wants you to enjoy your life? God came and He said, I want you to have life and have it more abundant. See, when He said, I placed eternity in the heart of man, you got to understand something about eternity. Eternity is not just everlasting. It's more to that. When he says He gives you eternal life, eternal is a Greek word, zoe. And zoe life is more than just everlasting life. If you can imagine this, imagine a toothpick. And if you took this toothpick and you could just easily break it, right? But if you took that toothpick and you laminated it to a log, guess how strong that toothpick becomes? As strong as that log. You have been brought into Christ, joint heirs with Him. The same strength that's in Christ is the same strength that's in you. And you've been laminated, as it were, to Him, joined together with Him. And we have become one. That great news. We have become one. And so He says, in your heart resides all this. And that's why we need to keep our heart pure and clean. We need to keep it. For out of it are all the issues of life, He said. And that's why it's so important that we keep it. That we keep this heart, our soil, that it is fertile so it can receive the seed and it can bear fruit. The second principle is that faithfulness always brings increase. I'm going to read this scripture again in Luke 16, 10 through 12. And He says, if you are faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. If you're dishonest in little things, you'll be honest with great responsibilities. And if you are trustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? He said, I want you to be faithful in little, faithful in money, and faithful in what is another's. When I was 12 years old, my brother worked for a man named, he lived in our neighborhood. His name was Mr. Abe Boyd, I think his last name was. He had a Atlanta Constitution paper route, and Eddie worked for him all day on Saturday delivering papers. Well, Eddie quit and went on to more entrepreneurial stuff. And Daddy told Mr. Abe Boyd, he said, oh, I got another son. He can help you on Saturday. I'm 12 years old. Daddy got my first job, and I'm 12 because Daddy believed in being and working. And so Daddy comes to me and says, I got you a job. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're going to be helping Mr. A. Boyd deliver the line of Constitution on Saturday. And I said, Daddy, Saturday is the only day I have off. He said, what do you mean it's the only day you have off? I said, well, I go to school Monday through Friday. You got me in church all day on Sunday. This is the only day I have off. He says, well, you're going to learn more than you think doing this. He says, you go ahead and work for him. And you don't like it, you can quit. But you need to go to work. Today, that'd be child abuse. So I go to work for Mr. A. Boyd, and I come home on a Saturday evening all day long, riding around, delivering papers, going up to houses, collecting for the Atlanta Constitution, getting bit by dogs over and over again. Nothing exaggerating. I'll share something about that in a minute. I have a fear of dogs. I love dogs, but I got to know that dog's not going to bite when I first see that dog. I'm very hesitant about dogs I don't know because I got bit so much. Matter of fact, I told Mr. A. Boyd one Saturday, I said, I got bit at the door, and I came to the car, and I said, Mr. Abe, I'm quitting. I said, I've been dog bit more, and I don't want to be dog bit no more. He said, I tell you what I do. I'll get you a dog gun, and it have spray in it, and when that dog comes up to you, you just shoot him in the face. It won't kill him. It just make him run away. I said, well, that sounds fun. So I'm coming back the next Saturday. I'm thinking, I got a dog gun. I'm going to be carrying me a pistol, man. So I get in the car, and he hands me this little mace. Looks like mace. It's a little spray. And I said, Mr. Abe, that ain't no gun. That's a spray. He said, yeah, but you just spray it in the dog's face. So that took all the joy out of the dog gun. But anyway, I come home, and I told Daddy, I said, Daddy, I got $4. He gave me $4 for working all day long, $4. He says, no, you really got $3.60. He said, 40 cents of it's going to God. I said, I don't know, he's crazy now. And then he said, working's not about money. And then I thought, you are crazy. What do you mean working? He says, working is about learning responsibilities. It's about learning how to be faithful in what somebody else has. And next job I got, Daddy got me a job at the Big Apple. I don't know how he pulled that string, but he got a job at the Big Apple, hacking groceries. Then later on, this guy needs some workers hanging sheetrock. Daddy comes home and says, I got you a job today. If you understand, Daddy got me every job I've ever had. He got me this job. He ain't here. This is my last. I can't get another one, so stuck with me. This is it. Because he got me every job I ever had. So he tells this guy, my son can hang sheetrock. He's strong as an ox. Daddy came home and said, I got you a job hanging sheetrock. I said, Daddy, I can't hang sheetrock. He said, you can learn. So we go and hanging the sheetrock wasn't too bad. You know, I was strong to pick it up. We did a whole ceiling in a school auditorium in Griffin. But then it gets to the artistic part. Hanging is no big deal, but mudding it. Now, that takes an artist to do that. And so I start mudding, and I knew that I wasn't going to last. This would be my last week with him. Because when he saw my mud work, he said, you can't really do this, can you? I said, I told Daddy I couldn't do it to start with. So then the next job I got, the Dodge place had just built a new dealership in Griffin. And this dealership, my daddy said, my son, he can, they had to put, now, think about this. This is talking about me. they want to take all of their parts, Keith, all of their parts, and they got to put it, all these parts, different parts, into the right bin in the parts department. And Daddy came home and told me, he said, I said, Daddy, I can't do that. He says, yes, you can. I go to work. Thank God. Thank God that they had numbers. They had on the bin of numbers, PC, da-da-da-da, and then on this ticket, on this part, there was that number. So all I did was match up the numbers. I mean, I look, it said carby. I didn't even say carburetor. I didn't know what a carburetor was, but it had a number on it, and I go put it in the bin. Well, after that job, they realized, I saw, because when they come and say, have you got the part that says that, I said, I have no idea. Well, that job didn't last long either. But what I'm getting, but Daddy got me every job I ever had because he would tell me over and over again, that's what you're learning responsibility and you're learning what faithfulness is. You're learning more than you ever, ever learn anywhere else. You learn a lot when you're faithful in what belongs to another person. You learn a lot when you work for somebody else. In Luke, Mark chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem. A man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good, Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. We'll come back to that in a moment. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and your mother. Teacher, he replied, listen, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Looking at the man, I love this, Jesus felt genuine love for him. And he says, there's still one thing you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Now, I want you to see, Jesus says to this man, you've not done a lot of things, which is good. You haven't done certain things. But goodness is not what you haven't done. Goodness is what you have done. And when Jesus said, only God is good, because everything God ever did was good, because only goodness, he is the only being that all goodness is poured out of for eternity. Nothing but goodness is poured. Moses said to God one time, God, show me your glory. And he says, I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock, and I'm going to have all of my goodness to pass before you. See, there's a one thing principle in life. You know, sometimes there could be just one thing that's blocking you from the blessings and abundance of life. For this man, it wasn't, he kept the commandments, but he hadn't done anything with his money. And so Jesus said, now, if you'll do some good stuff, and he wasn't telling him to sell everything and give everything to the poor. He says, sell what you got and give to the poor. Give to some others. That's goodness. That's proactive. You with me? That's proactive. And when we do good deeds, when we show good deeds, we are really living out the kingdom of God, because the kingdom is not about getting, but the kingdom is about giving. I've learned something this year that's probably been the most. I'm reading a book called All Things New, and I've shared a little bit about that with you, by John Eldridge. And he and our lives this year have so paralleled. And matter of fact, I really got into it because right at the beginning, as I was reading it, he talked about 2017 being the worst year he's ever lived. And yet he's writing a book about hope. And he talks about his best friend dying, talks about tough things he's gone through. And so I got on this thing about all things new. And the word new and the word hope has just exploded inside me. And there's this scripture in Hebrews 6, chapter 19. It says that hope is the anchor of our soul. It's a strong and trustworthy anchor. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. But I want you to look at hope is the anchor of us. Hope is when it's what keeps the ship from just going, being tossed to and fro and going. It anchors you down. It gives you steadfastness and it gives you security. There are three things sometimes I think we've read it and we've quoted it and it sounds so poetic, and yet it's the most important thing in scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, "And now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." Now that sounds beautiful. That's just a beautiful phrase that just sounds pretty. But the fact of the matter is, it is everything to us. Faith is seeing what you can't see. Hope is believing for the very best. And love is able to overlook the very worst. Expecting, there are mighty forces, listen, meant to carry your life forward, upward. They're your wings. There's nothing more important than your faith and your hope and your love. And when God told me the very day after Mike passed away, he says, "I've got a new journey for you, a new journey, a new journey for you." I was talking to Chelsea last night, and Mike's daughter, and she had some tough times, but she didn't lose a faith, she didn't lose a hope. And she told me last night, she played this song for me that she had written. She said, "Ever since Daddy's gone, I've been writing songs so easily." Says, "I just know he's helping me write these songs. And that everything in my life now is easier than it was. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." Listen, hope is not wishful thinking. Please let me get this thing settled. Stop saying, you hear people say, "I hope this happens." Well, what they're saying is wishful thinking. I wish this to be. I want this to be. That's not hope. Hope's not wishful thinking. Faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is an anchor of our soul that lets us know that all is well, all is good, all is going to continue to be well, all is going to continue to be good, and all I'm going to have is an expectation of the future that the best is yet to come in my life. That things get better, not worse. No matter what happens, no matter what we go through, I have a hope. It is the anchor of my soul. I'm anchored by it. He says, "One thing you lack." Your life's not about what you. Christianity has been built too much on the negative side of what we don't do. Christianity is not about what we don't do. That's simple. It's what we do do. That's what it's about. It's about doing, not about not doing. See, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast." He didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. He said, "You don't come into this thing, and you're not ratified, and you're not set in by works, but you are created now unto good works that God has before ordained that you should walk in them. Let your light so shine before men they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." James says, "Show me your faith by what you believe. I'll show you my faith by my works." That's why James almost didn't make it into the canon. They had a real struggle with Romans and James. It just didn't seem to line up. Justified by faith, and James talks about works. It was a battle to understand. You know, the scripture, I'm glad that there's coming, we're seeing the scripture and understanding it in a better way we ever have. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad God's not about annihilation, but he's about making all things new? You do know that, don't you? If you don't, you're going to know that. More and more and more. He's not here to burn up the world. He's here to make the world new, to balance this thing out. I'm 6 months down the road. He says, Jesus said, I'm making all things new. Sowing determines our reaping. What we sow, we reap. In Mark 9, continuing this, he said, Mark 10:27, he says, disciples looked at Jesus, they said, we're astounded. Who can be saved then? And Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it's impossible. Not with God, everything's possible. Peter began to speak up. We've given everything to follow you, he said. This man didn't want to sell all his possessions, but Peter said, we did. We left the boats. We left the nets. We left everything going to follow you. We gave it all up. Gave up my livelihood. Anybody ever said, reminded God what you've done? Come on. Have you ever told God what you've done for him? You need something, you're going through something. I remind him all the time. I don't know if it does any good, but I remind him all the time. Barbara thought she had breast cancer years ago, and I went to God, and I just brought up and told God how much he owed me. I go to him sometimes like this. I say, I've got some chips I want to call in. That's what I say. That's why I talk to God. I got some chips I want to call in. I've been good. I'm with you, Jacob. I've been good. And so every now and then I just want to remind God, you know, hey, remember what I've done? So that's what Peter done. Lord, we've left everything. We've left it all. I love Jesus replied, I assure you that everyone who has given up a house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive, in return, 100 times as many houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and property along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person have eternal life. Wow. I don't like the word persecution, do you? Yeah, I don't like it either, but it comes with it. You know who's been one of the most persecuted preachers in Griffin, Georgia? Yep. You're looking at it. In case you don't know, you're looking at it. A lot of persecution for truth. A lot of persecution. Jesus, he said, you buy the truth and don't sell it. Truth cost you. Truth cost you. It cost. That's all I got to say about that. So, in Matthew, when Jesus tells this story, this is what he says. Peter, you know, Matthew quoted the same thing, and Peter chimed in. He says, Lord, we've left everything and followed you. And Jesus said to Peter, when I make all things new, read it. It's in there. Let me give you scripture. Matthew 9:27-30, just in case if you have any problems. Jesus said, when I make all things new, you're going to sit with me in thrones. And then he said, all these things are going to continue to be blessed, 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 blessed. And when I studied that, I saw three things. One, if you share in Christ's campaign, you share in his victory. Watched a movie. How many of you have seen Hacksaw Ridge? A few of you? Good movie. You ought to watch it. It's about a man who was a conscientious objector, and he went to war, but he wouldn't carry a gun. He wanted to be a medic, and he almost didn't get in, but he got in. He saved over 100-something people on Hacksaw Ridge, brought them down, brought two Japanese down, and just a great movie. But his father really got him. He was going in court, and he was going to be put in jail for the remainder of the war because he wouldn't carry a gun. And he says, I don't understand. While some people are taking lives, I'm going to be saving lives. It seems like that's just as much about war as anything. Well, his father walks in, had his old uniform on. He served. And he walks up to this general, and the general really wasn't going to give him the time of day. And he looked at him, he said, so you mean to tell me that I wore this uniform and I fought for this country and I did the things that I did, and I don't have a say-so anymore? I don't have a say-so in a country that I fought for? and I saw my friends die in, I don't have a say-so anymore. See, that's the way it may be here, but that's not the way it is in God, Christ's kingdom. He says, you fight with me, you're going to reign with me. You fight, I'm not going to forget your battles with me. I'm not going to forget what you do. He is not forgetful of what we do for him. I ain't going to let go of this thing. He's not forgetful of what you've done. He doesn't forget what you've done. He doesn't forget what you've done for him. People may forget it, but he hasn't. He never, ever will. I'm sure all of you have lived long enough in life. You've done for people over and over and over again, but it didn't make any difference when it was all over. They didn't remember. Anybody ever been there? Well, pastor a church for as long as I have, and you'll see when you've done a lot and a lot and a lot for people, and it really don't matter after all. God's not that way. And God says, what you do for me, I remember. You know, tithing is not a law. Tithing is a principle. Tithing was a principle that Abraham just kind of set in motion himself. God didn't even set tithing in motion. Abraham did. God never told Abraham to give 10%. He was so grateful and thankful for what God had done, he gave a tithe. And that's why in Hebrews talks about after the order of Melchizedek, because that's where the tithe went to. Abraham started that, Donnie. Abraham started tithing. And God said, that's a pretty good principle. Hello. And so he set a principle up. If you bring all your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you shall not be able to receive. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and I'll cause you to be fruitful. It's a principle. You don't have to do it. You really don't. You don't have to do a lot of things. But if you do, God sees it. And he doesn't forget it. He doesn't forget it. He does not forget what you've done for him. That's a principle. We've forsaken all, Lord. You haven't forsaken anything from me that you're not going to get back more. Because you always reap more than you sow. Always. Let's say it another way. You always reap way more than you give. You give love, you reap love. You give mercy, you reap mercy. You give money, you reap money. Whatever you give, whatever you sow, that's what you reap. It comes back to you. It comes back to you. It's probably one of the only principle that is worldwide, universal wide. Even other religions believe that. They believe that. That's one principle that like everybody believes. And that's why Paul said, God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, he shall reap. Mercy, that's a principle. Blessed are the merciful. You know Jesus didn't come preaching law? You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know what he taught? Principles. All the way through all four Gospels, Jesus speaks about principles. Matter of fact, he said, the law is this, but I don't tell you what really is. The principle of it is this. If you do this, that won't happen anyway. There's a principle. With every principle, there is a promise. With every principle, there's a promise that goes along with it. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream one time, and he was told he was going to go crazy, basically. And for 7 years, he was going to be like a cow out eating grass, and his fingernails are going to grow long. He's just going to be a wild man for 7 years. Daniel comes and interprets the dream for him and tells Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, what's going to happen to you? And then Daniel said something real interesting. He said, but Neb, short for Nebuchadnezzar, Neb, if you will show mercy to people, perhaps God will change his mind. He had a chance to do one thing, show mercy. And God will turn that whole thing around. But you know what he does? He walks out on his balcony. He looks out across the Babylonian kingdom that he thought he had built. And he started admiring all that he had built. So look what I've done. Look what I've done. And that night, his senses was taken from him. In 7 years, God dealt with his pride. And he said, after this 7 years is over, you'll know heaven rules. Heaven rules. Heaven rules. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever and ever. And the last principle is the principle of hospitality. It's being hospitable. It's caring for people. It doesn't mean that somebody's got to move in with you. When I say that, because we've had a lot of that to happen, that is being hospitable. But that's not. Hospitality is caring for people. It's doing something for somebody who can't do it for themselves. One of the requirements of an elder is to be hospitable. And caring is the most good thing we can do. But these are principles, church, they work. They work for everybody. Everybody. You, a lot of people don't understand that you can give yourself, care for others out of your situations, out of your brokenness and hurt. You can, if you minister out of it, it'll get you out of that. When you're hurting, find somebody that's hurting and help them. That's how you get healed. That's how you get healed yourself. Is do it for others. That's what Jesus, do unto others, wow, as you'd have them do unto you. That was not a negative, that was proactive. I know I say this a lot, but it's so important. Jesus didn't say, what you don't want done to you, don't do to other people. He didn't say that. That's negative, that's not proactive. He said, whatever you want done to you, you do it to somebody else. That's the principle, that's how it works, you do. And I think maybe we haven't talked enough about to people and taught you enough about folks, just you got to do some stuff. It's not going to just happen. It's not going to drop out of heaven. I was standing in the back and I told somebody, I saw the crowd and got better as it went on, but I saw the crowd and I told them, I said, hey, gum! I done gave these people so much freedom. They don't even think they got to come to church anymore. I said, I may have to start cranking down a little bit and talk to, you know, there's a flip side of this thing. God does want you to do some stuff. You're here to get realigned. Every Sunday, I get realignment. I think a car, maybe, I never hear of cars really getting out of alignment as much as they used to. Used to be shops that were just realignment shops. Your car get out of line, you know. Years ago, you ever have a car get out of line? You have to take it and they realign it, and then it's smooth. That's why sometimes your life gets like that. It needs realignment. Need to be reminded. I need to be reminded every single day of my life to be grateful, to be thankful. Be appreciative every day, every moment. So let's get up every morning thinking, what can I do today for somebody? See, it's intentional. If you're not intentional, it probably won't happen. It's got to be intentional. You intend to do it, you're going to do it. Intentional is a very strong word. That means you're going to do what you say you're going to do. Yeah. I got to be intentional if I'm going to do something good tomorrow. I got to think about it. Got to check my heart about it. I've never seen in Griffin so many homeless people. I mean, it seemed like there's every corner. And I have to really, I know, choose and be careful. I just check my heart. Should I give money to that person or not? And I always check my heart. If I go by them, I listen to my heart. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but I listen to my heart. I got to be intentional about listening. Barbara always carries a little extra cash on her because if she's intentional about giving it to somebody, when she feels like she needs to give this to somebody, she'll just give it to somebody. My daddy kept extra cash on him, but it was to buy stuff. He carried $1,000 in his billfold all the time. As he thought, if you got something for sale for $1,000, he's going to pull out six $100 bills and probably get it from you because he's going to flash him $600 bills. She carries it, so I want to find somebody to give this to. She's carried a $100 bill and a billfold, waiting for the moment when God would say, that person, that person. I'm not that intentional with my money. She is. But I'm intentional about some other stuff. I'm intentional about encouraging and not judging and seeing people the way they really are, who God says that they are. But you know what? And I'll say this in close. Started this several years ago. Still, one of the most difficult things for me to do is to see every single person in the light of God. I still catch myself looking at somebody and going, golly, what happened to you? No, that's a person made in the image and the likeness of God. See them that way. See them exactly that way. But you gotta be intentional about it. So you're gonna be intentional? Two of you, three of you? Any more? I don't love them coming back next week if you don't get back on freedom and mercy. We'll always be there. But you're not set free to do anything you want to do. You're set free to do what he wants you to do. Anyway. Said, don't receive the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ who, this is a word, lasciviousness. That's a word, isn't it? Don't even ask me to repeat it. I can tell you what it means. Don't take your grace and use it for a license to sin. Don't take grace and use it for a license to do your own thing. God forbid. That's what he said. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's not what you're created for. You're created for good works. You're created to do good things. You're good, so you got to do good things. Jacob, you good? You got to do good things, right? If you're good, you got to do good things. It's what you're called to do. Okay. Well,
amen. Good stuff. So our ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. Lots of important information I need to give you. How many in here, just quick raise your hand, volunteer in the children's ministry? Several hands. Awesome. Thank you for doing that. There has been a meal planned for you next Sunday right after church. And I don't have the paper in front of me to read you all of those details, but Lena and Linda have that information back in the nursery area. So if you will go back there and grab that from them. They need to know how many are going to be here to be able to do that. So they just want to say thank you. It's the holiday time, and our children are incredibly important to us here at Eagles Way. We want to continue to thank those that are giving of their time and their talents to that. Looks like you got something to say.
I I was going to say about 2017, I'm just glad that it's just about over. Because in the last year, I've spent more time in nursing homes and hospice care than I've spent in all my life. Literally, all my life I spent more in nursing homes and hospice care than I spent in all my life. And yesterday, Barbara's brother passed away last night, her older brother that some people don't even know that she has. And he's 86 years old. He's been in the nursing home for years. But at 2 o'clock this afternoon, we're going to be making arrangements for his burial tomorrow. And probably be around 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. That's what we're kind of looking at and aiming for. But he's at Connell Westbury. So just remember their family. He has two twin daughters and a son that lives in Nashville. And the daughters are really, even though they saw this coming, of course, that's their daddy. And so just remember the family in prayer. Thank you.
Amen, for sure. Those of you that have signed up to cook a turkey, the turkey is going to be in the Continental Breakfast or the Coffee and Donut area right after service, if you will go by and get that. If you are interested in cooking one, I still have 7 more that need a home to be cooked. Okay? Otherwise, I'm going to have to do some serious figuring on how to get those things cooked by 3 o'clock on Tuesday. So you can take that. They are already thawed, so you don't have to de-thaw them. If you didn't see, weren't here Wednesday night, we had a great Thanksgiving meal. But there is a little form that's out there by the Christmas box. You'll see the Christmas box, but you can give alms all year long. On the back, it tells you what we do all year long. But at Christmas time, we have named our holiday almsgiving the Mike Thompson Christmas Fund now. So if you want to give to that, it lets you know the things that we do here at Eagles Way and the way that you can get involved. So if you are planning on serving meals at the thanks for the poor and needy on Thanksgiving morning, you don't show up here. You'll be by yourself. You show up at St. John's Lutheran Church, which is right in front of Ingalls. Get there at 10 o'clock, and all you have to know is how many stops and what area you want to be. And they have it so well planned out. You'll be in and out of there in about 10 or 15 minutes. Everybody will be sweet and nice to you. You'll have the meals in your vehicle, and then you can go in. The whole process takes about 45 minutes to an hour. So if you have time, over 1,800 meals will be delivered Thanksgiving morning because of your faithfulness, because of you giving to the alms. You are making a difference in the people's lives. So, Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these tithes, these offerings, these alms. But we ask you, Father, Lord, to bless them. Lord, sanctify them and use them, Father, Lord, for allowing people to see your goodness and your love and that there is hope. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we let's just stand and let's sing. Thank you.
Have a